Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our new round of the Mind Life Project for New Year. Please let me know you're here by just letting me know you can hear me in the chat box as we wait for everyone to arrive. I'm so excited to begin another round with you. So excited. How has the beginning of the year felt for you so far? Share a few words. As I was sitting down to prepare this call, I looked back on some of my notes from the last couple of years, and I remembered it became really clear to me that the beginning of each MindLife project year in this kind of early stage of this each new year, there was this kind of backdrop of COVID chaos and disruption. And that's what it had been for the last sort of 2 to 3 years. And it was kind of uplifting and hopeful when I sat down to sort of put my thoughts together for this call to realize, acknowledge, and recognize that I don't know about you, but somehow finally it feels like this year we're starting to be in less chaos, slightly more normality. COVID's kind of fallen back a little bit into the background, and somehow things are feeling more hopeful. Not necessarily across the whole world, but certainly in relation to the pandemic. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And of course, this is going to be a very different experience and sense for everyone, depending on your age, your health status. That was what I noticed. And I guess the point here is, isn't it wonderful to kind of have this check-in point that we have this regular check-in for ourselves? You know, that you might be doing your meditation practice alone, but just having these monthly check-ins to sort of pause and just connect and just notice what's present. And that's what I noticed was present. So that was a nice realization, just feeling more settled. So I'm just looking at your comments. I'll just read a couple out for those who aren't following or on the recording in the future. People, some have entered the year in a rush, some feeling more settled about the pandemic. There's people about to travel but still feeling a bit scary with COVID. My life's the best it's ever been. Great. Oh, Chris, I'm so sorry to hear. A grandchild in NICU for a month. That's an awful start to the year. Glad to hear that they're home. Yeah, as usual, it's a mosaic. You know, probably half of us are feeling productive and positive, and the other half, it's feeling a little tough. So, however you've arrived here tonight, welcome, and I'm so glad that you've showed up. Pat on the shoulder. So, before we kind of move into the formal talk and practice, I know for myself, it's been a really hectic day over here. Got lots of things that I'm juggling at the moment. So, for me, definitely just this short little settling in practice is going to be very useful. I hope it is for you too. So, just finding a comfortable position as we just arrive here together to begin our new year and new collection of MindLife Project sessions. And I invite you to specifically just note how you're feeling now and then just take a note and acknowledge, just notice after 5 minutes or so of practice, just how the quality of your presence or energy may be different. Okay, so gently closing the eyes if you feel called to, or you can practice with them open if you prefer. And there's more people arriving, but there's about 50 of us here now live. So just kind of welcoming each other virtually in some kind of, you know, mental way, in a heart way, just kind of opening up the heart. coming back into this community. And landing in your own seat. So quite literally bringing awareness to the body sitting here. And immediately just scanning through the body and just sensing any tightness and just seeing if you can just let that go. And just inviting a sense of ease and effortlessness into this moment. You don't have to do anything except for simply letting go of everything else, except for the awareness of your body and space. Your breath flowing in and out. Noticing the active move of finding the breath amidst kind of the chaos of the mind or any physical agitation, just seeing if you can really locate the breath in the body. Letting go of any tension between the eyes. Letting go of any tension between the scapulas and the back. Letting go of any tension or holding in the diaphragm. Just inviting a sense of ease and effortlessness. Just giving yourself permission to completely let go of any thoughts about the future or the past. Just allowing yourself a brief moment to just rest in stillness. And allowing yourself to be reminded of what it feels like to let go by tuning into the out-breath. Where there's this natural sensation of letting go. With the body so effortlessly letting go of the breath. And of course, thoughts might come and go. This is normal. Just seeing if with each out-breath, this letting go, this releasing can happen in the mind as well. Just seeing if it's possible to just release thoughts, just let them go rather than getting hooked into them. And coming back to the breath, this anchor that you can always return to. and really stepping into your senses. You're sort of shifting gears from the head, dropping awareness into the body, becoming a sensing being rather than a thinking being. What information is coming through the senses in this moment? Senses of touch, sound, smell, taste, sight. Noticing perhaps which sense door is receiving the most information in this moment. Perhaps it's sensations in the body through the sense door of touch. Perhaps there's information coming into awareness around contact the body's making with the chair or the ground. Maybe an awareness of warmth or coolness in the body. Maybe an awareness of movement, tingling or pulsations, and just noticing with curiosity and presence, and just resting in silence for a minute, and just becoming curious about this feeling of stillness that may be more present . Just sensing what it feels like to be in stillness, in silence. And then just opening your eyes and having a bit of a stretch. Just actively noticing just what effect that has on the body mind. And if you'd like to share any comments, then you're welcome. Just observations of doing this kind of practice where we kind of don't need to practice for long, but we just gather our attention so that we can really arrive. So peacefulness and calm. I'll just read out a few comments. The crickets outside sound amazing. Definitely slowed down and more relaxed. Chris, thank you. I love becoming a sensing being rather than a thinking being. Yes, helpful, that one. Great. So just moving on now into sort of the more, you know, the talk, and then I'm going to give a guided meditation. And then, as I sent out in the email, I'm going to invite you into another mindful journaling practice and then some time for reflection at the end. So, in the lead up to this call, I was reflecting once again, always take time to reflect on my own intention for running this group and also revisiting my intentions for my own practice, my own personal practice. And I remembered what came to me straight away was the wise words of Matthew Ricard, who, in a conversation that I had with him in Mindful May, which I'm sure many of you recall, hopefully, he really encapsulated the purpose of meditation, which really illuminates the intention I have for my own practice and also for running this program. So I'm going to read out what he shared. You might remember his comment. I thought it was brilliant. So he shared, "If we put all of our hopes and fears on the outer conditions of our lives, then we're in for a rough ride because the control is very limited. The universe is not a mail order catalog for our desires. It doesn't work like that. It is by nature transient, labile, and impermanent. That's the nature of things. You're at the top, big boss, and everything, and the next day you're fired or you lose your fortune or something happens. So, yes, we should do our best to improve our outer conditions, but we need to work on improving the inner condition for flourishing." I just feel like this is such a wise comment. Often people come to meditation and then they get confused and they think, oh, does that mean I need to stop being ambitious and stop making goals and, basically stop attending to my life and just sit and meditate? Absolutely not. But I think the point is that really, as he says, it's important to live our lives, have goals, feel we're living with meaning, but also have that awareness that really things are not in our control and that we need to be cultivating a more sturdier inner kind of trunk that keeps us steady when things around us are constantly changing. And so, his words, his explanation, I think so beautifully expresses what I see as the purpose of the MindLife Project. And really, one of the reasons that I value meditation so much, to really support this inner flourishing and resilience that's independent of what's happening in our outer lives. And I think, over the last number of years, all of us have really felt that the way how valuable it's been to kind of be together in this program, in this community, and sort of committed and supported to keep practicing. There's always going to be things going on that challenge us, that create suffering. Being human, I think we can all agree, brings with it some inevitable difficulties. There's just no escaping that truth. I really loved this quote by Michael Egan, who's a really wonderful therapist. He wrote a fascinating book about Kabbalah and psychotherapy, which was lovely. And he famously said, he was actually encapsulating Freud's teaching and work, and he said, "We never recover from being human." I thought that was brilliant. So it's not about expecting that suddenly there's going to be no suffering in our lives anymore. Wouldn't that be great? But rather, it's about knowing that when we commit to cultivating awareness and wisdom through meditation, it's perhaps a sense that we can ensure life doesn't have to be harder than it needs to be. Sure, there's going to be suffering, but it's really about we don't need to add to the suffering. We don't need to add unnecessary suffering to being human. So, in our first session of this new year, I want to really invite you, as I've done for myself, to revisit your own personal intentions and reasons for being here. Why did you sign up this time around? What called you to come back and to stay here? What is your intention and aspiration for being here now and for the coming months? It's really, really important you take time to consciously think about that. And I invite you to get clear on this because your intention is really going to be the fuel for your actions and your ongoing commitment. So, as I said earlier, really like pat on the back for showing up here live and arriving. Well done. As we all know, it's just so easy to miss it. It's there's so many things that are going on. Maybe you weren't in the mood, maybe you didn't have the energy, but you showed up, which is really a testament to your intention and your commitment. And if you'd like, you can share in the chat box any words around what your intention is for being here, really what it's about for you. For some, it might be about just simply becoming more present and less distracted. For others, it might be reducing suffering. So, yeah, thank you. It's great to hear from you. But whether you're listening now live or in the recording, really, please do take some time over the next day or two to really come back to the why. Why bother meditate? What is this really about for you? And really know that clearly. I just find that revisiting that really helps fuel my commitment to the practice. So recently I was walking through the Botanical Gardens in Melbourne. God, I love the Botanical Gardens. I know many of you do too in Melbourne. And I went and visited my favourite oak tree. And I was with my youngest daughter, who's now asking lots of the how and why questions. And as I was explaining how the seed becomes the tree, I was suddenly, really, honestly, I was suddenly overtaken by this beautiful awe and wonder at just how magical it is that a seed, literally something you can hold in the palm of your hand, can become a ginormous tree, like monstrous oak tree. And we all know this is a fact. But to really be present to that reality is quite something. And, you know, something, it's that classic cliche of, you know, seeing the world as if you were a child. It was really like that for me. It really struck me, oh my God, this seed becomes that tree. Just mind blowing. And this experience brought to mind the words of the great spiritual teacher, Abraham Heschel, who wrote, and I love this quote, I'll share it in the chat box because I know some of you are going to love it as well. Our goal should be to live life in radical amazement, to get up in the morning and look at the world in a way that takes nothing for granted. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is incredible. Never treat life casually. To be spiritual is to be amazed. Now, this radical amazement that Abraham Heschel talks about requires a particular quality of presence so that we're actually in our lives. We're actually in our lives connecting with what's happening rather than lost in our thoughts and our worries and missing the whole thing, missing the miracles around us. Having said this, I'm also really mindful. I'm acutely aware that for some of us in this very moment here on this call or in the recording, you know, you may be experiencing a huge amount of suffering. And accessing radical amazement right now might feel a very long way off. You could have even felt some aversion or repulsion at that quote because your life feels so difficult. And that's just not the state of mind you're in. However, even if we are in the midst of suffering and life is feeling really unfair at the moment, the quality of our attention and presence is very much worth focusing on and cultivating. As with clear attention, we can much more easily recognize when we're adding stories and shooting those second arrows at ourselves. So, coming back to that beautiful oak tree in the gardens, it also brought to mind a quote that I've shared before by Joseph Goldstein. He wrote this in his book, Mindfulness, that I think is relevant to tonight for our first call of the year. Which is, he writes, the energy of intention is like the potential of a seed. A seed is so small, yet a small seed can become a huge tree. And of course, in order to fulfill its potential, this seed requires the correct nourishment and nutrients to support its growth. Of course, it's only potential. It's not definitely going to become a tree. It does require the correct nourishment and nutrients. And the seed also doesn't exist on its own, but it is part of an interconnected system. And just like that seed, in order to bring your own intentions and aspirations and potential into life. You and I, we all need to be supported and nourished in the right way. We can't do it alone. It's simply impossible. And from years of teaching meditation, I have absolutely no doubt, and I'm sure many of you agree because you've stuck around here, that one of the greatest supports for our intentions to actually manifest is community. Community and accountability from community are the necessary ingredients that provide this fertilizer for our hopes, our intentions, and our aspirations. And that's really what we're here for, to support each other and hold each other accountable to our deepest and most meaningful intentions. Now, there are two other ingredients that over the years of teaching I've found to be essential. And as we resume our group practice tonight, I wanted to remind you of them. And these ingredients are patience and curiosity. Now, I know you all know this. You've heard this many times before. But often I know we also forget these things. We need to be reminded to wake up and to kind of engage more in what's going on. So in this session, I'd like to remind you to really activate your curiosity tonight and patience with everything that arises in the practice, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, because we can turn towards what is unpleasant with curiosity. And that really opens up new possibilities. So everything becomes fertilizer for our practice and our growth. And I've found that the best way of activating curiosity in our meditation can be through asking ourselves questions, which I will weave through tonight's practice. But just to highlight some of these questions so that throughout the day, you can actually start asking them of yourself quietly to kind of re-engage yourself, to snap yourself out of that numb feeling or that kind of dissociated feeling or that just kind of tired, disengaged feeling. So some of the questions that you can ask yourself include, where is my attention now? Just walk down the street as you just remember that question. Just when you're working, when you're with your kids, when you're cooking dinner, just where is my attention now? Just starting to ask that of yourself. What does boredom feel like in my body? You know, if you're feeling it, or what is whatever feeling it is, you know, if you're feeling angry, what does anger feel like in my body? Like, start getting really curious about that. Where am I feeling my breath most vividly? What's the furthest sound I can hear? And what's the quality of my breath in this moment? So sharing some of those questions in the chat box for you to kind of start practicing on your own, not just when you're in meditation. So whether it's boredom or agitation or sleeplessness or whatever the challenge is that comes up in the session tonight, or more broadly, as we continue our practice over the months to come, investigating and bringing curiosity to these experiences is really the absolute key to helping us move towards rather than away from our experience. And in so doing, helping us discover just new openings and new possibilities. And so I really invite you tonight to step into deep patience, because some of you may have fallen off track. So you've got to get back into the rhythm of it. And deep curiosity as we go on another round of Mind Life Project together. And also beyond our formal calls, I really invite you to activate this curiosity and patience in your daily life too. So this is just kind of like a reminder, flagging this for you, because I know you know it, but just hearing it again is often really helpful. And as we did this time last year, and many of you found it really helpful, I'm going to, after our longer meditation, which we'll begin in a minute, I'm going to guide a short mindful journaling practice. So please have paper and pen ready if you'd like to do that. Okay, so finding a comfortable position. And as you know, I always am happy for you to lie down. Of course, there's the risk of falling asleep, but you can keep your eyes open, or take a jumper off, make sure you're not too warm so you can benefit from the practice. And it's so nice to see all your names. I'm just looking at your names and just seeing who's here, and it's wonderful to see so many of you show up live. Thank you. So just bringing awareness into the body again. And just becoming aware of the breath. And perhaps just taking a few deep breaths in your own time. And really, as I said, becoming a human sensing rather than a human thinking, feeling the body, feeling the breath as it fills the chest and the belly with the inhalation. Just feeling the letting go, feeling of ease with the out breath. I'm sensing the body sitting or lying here. Noticing sensations in the body that come and go. What sensations are you aware of in this moment? Perhaps areas of pressure where the body is in contact with the ground or the chair or the bed. Perhaps tingling. Perhaps the sensations of the breath as it flows in and out. And perhaps areas of tension, tightness. Seeing if you can just allow the body to relax. If you notice any particular areas of tightness or tension, seeing if you can let them go. Letting go of the muscles holding tension in the face. Letting go in the shoulders. Letting go of any holding or tension in the belly. Letting go and softening between the eyes. Just letting go of tension anywhere else that is required. Perhaps just bringing awareness to the out-breath. which has this natural quality of letting go, this effortlessness as the breath leaves the body. If thoughts come to mind, just almost using that sense of letting go from the out-breath to also let go of tension and thoughts in the mind, knowing that you can come back to them. If they're that important, they'll come again. Really allowing yourself this opportunity to be free from the buzzing of the mind, really stepping into the senses. There's a way of really resting in this moment. And as we rest in stillness, if any feelings or sensations arise that seem to pull at your attention and dominate in an unpleasant way, then remembering to activate curiosity, opening to whatever experience arises. Simply allowing things to be as they are, bringing curiosity. What does sleepiness feel like in the body, or what does agitation or boredom feel like, restlessness? Just starting to investigate like a scientist. Being curious. How do I know I'm bored or restless or whatever arises? As Jon Kabat-Zinn famously said, putting out the welcome mat to it all with a sense of gentleness. Kindness to oneself and curiosity. Goes in and out. Really letting go of any effort, just inviting ease and a sense of effortlessness. I'm just sensing what it feels like to rest in stillness and quiet. And perhaps bringing a curiosity to this capacity for awareness. That you can be aware of what it feels like. Simply be present from moment to moment. Just this quality of knowing. Just seeing if you can sense that. There's the movement of thoughts, and there's the stillness of awareness. It's the stillness between thoughts. Just starting to become curious about this quality of awareness that is always present. Just resting back in this present moment, allowing your awareness to rest in stillness. And again, coming back to each out-breath and seeing if you can let go, relax and release a little more in both the body and the mind. Just simply no effort. And the body releases the out-breath. Then allowing the next in-breath to be received. Now for a minute, just simply allowing the mind to do whatever it wants. Allowing the mind to be free, just resting in awareness and stillness, just riding the waves of the breath, just sensing the flow of the breath, almost like waves lapping up against the shore and then receding back into the ocean. Seeing if you can even enjoy this moment of quiet and stillness. Letting go of any tension in the mind or the body. And if it's helpful, just Bringing awareness to that out breath and letting go through the entire out breath. Noticing where your attention is in this moment. And then bringing an awareness to the whole body again. So allowing awareness to fill the entire volume of the body. Sort of having a sense of this body sitting or lying here. And then expanding awareness out to once again connecting with a sense of a community, practicing this moment with you. And as we close this practice, inviting you to bring your hand to your heart and perhaps offering yourself just a sense of care and compassion. Any difficulty or challenges you've been experiencing, or if no difficulties at this moment, perhaps even just acknowledging anything good that's happened and really allowing this to be absorbed, sort of allowing gratitude to bubble up. Just a space here for you. It's kind of acknowledging either your resilience for any suffering you've endured, or your creativity and your energy that may have been manifested recently in creating something or moving something forward. And then just opening your eyes and stretching out your body in whatever way you need. And again, just taking a moment to just notice and be curious about your body, mind, your energy, your state of being after this practice. And in a moment, I'm going to be guiding the mindful writing. So you can either stay where you are and just reflect on this in quiet without writing, and then come back to this recording if you want to write. Or if you're feeling you would like to actually write, then I'm inviting you to move to your pen and paper. So we'll do a little few minutes of reflecting or writing. So again, you know the drill. It's let your pen flow freely. Don't stop. Keep the pen flowing to really tap into your intuitive, non-analytical self. So as we stand here at the beginning of a new year, nearly beginning, the first inquiry is one which we kind of connected to at the end of the year, but again, just in a refreshed state. What most truly matters to me this year is, What most truly matters to me this year is. So you might like to just sit with that question and just allow things to emerge without chasing them. Or if you're journaling, just allow the pen to flow freely without stopping. What most truly matters to me this year is. What most truly matters to me this year is. You might move into how you want to feel. What most truly matters to me this year is, might be the realm of work, relationships, your soul, health. Move on to the next inquiry. What feels most alive in me at the moment is. What feels most alive in me at the moment is. What feels most alive in me at the moment is. So this is really tapping into curiosity. Where is curiosity? What interests you? Where do you feel a pull? What feels most alive in me? Or what feels most alive in me is. Just free flow, keep the pen moving. Alternatively, just allow the question to simmer and just be curious as to what arises in the mind or in your awareness. And finally, and if you're still writing, you can come back and listen and pause and write for longer if there's more to come. Finally, in order to be more connected to my soul this year, I would like to be more connected to my soul this year, I'd like to. And if this question confuses you, just sit with it. You could replace soul for creative self in order to be more connected to my creative self or my soul this year. I'd like to. Okay. Now, if you wanted more time to write and finish, you can always come back to these questions, of course, and the practice. But we are coming to the end of our call. So, as always, we'll have a few minutes. We might go over just a couple of minutes, but if anyone would like to share any experiences, observations, curiosities from tonight's practice, or if you want to just state your intention for being here so it's publicly heard and we can all keep you accountable to that, you're welcome. But yeah, if you'd like to share any reflections or anything that surprised you or that you noticed in tonight's meditation or journaling, I'm inviting you to put your hand up. We might have time for one or two people. And if you have never come to a call before, and this is your first call, then know that your voice is a generous act to the community, because everyone's still hanging around. So people love hearing your voice and your reflections. It's a gift. So, yes. And as we wait, I'll just wait for a minute. People finish writing, whatever. I also want to remind you that part of the gift of this program is that we can have meditation buddies. So please, do make use of that. And you can find a buddy through the Facebook group. If you're not on Facebook, then feel free to email us, support@mindlifeproject.com. And, hopefully we'll get a few people and then we can buddy you up. But also, please go to the Facebook group and share any reflections from tonight's practice so that it encourages other people who didn't show up live to go and listen to the recording. Let's see, Sally, did you put your hand up? Just unmute if you wanted to share something. Sally?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Elise. This is the second time I've spoken, and I've probably into my third year
Great.
of just being here the whole time, Mindful in Me and the other
Yes.
program.
Yes.
I guess my commitment is really realizing the importance of meditation to my life. This is why I continue with being part of this community. In particular, you talked a bit about allowance, and I've been curious about what is the difference? What is the similarity? Which comes first, acceptance and allowance? And how does that make life easier for us once we accept something and then allow it to happen?
Are you talking about a feeling or an
Just
experience or?
experiences, feelings, yes. So for example, if something has happened to you, you might accept it might take a while to accept that something's happened to you, and then you allow it to
I would say the allowing might come first.
Oh, okay.
So allowing whatever feelings are there around what's happening. So I find it easier to talk specific, to actually pull up an example or so whether, even on a micro level, when we look at meditation, let's say, because often what happens in meditation is a reflection of what we tend to do in our everyday life. So, and if you want to be more specific about what you're talking about, you're welcome to be, but just so that I keep it general, if you're in practice and something, even like a feeling comes up, like agitation, And then the immediate response to that is sort of, I want this to go away. This doesn't feel good. I'm feeling agitated. I don't like this feeling. So that's called aversion, which is that thing of pushing away. So the allowing is actually opening up to it and, you know, putting out the welcome mat, actually noticing what's going on. So, oh, agitation is here. This is what is here. This is reality as it is. There's no point fighting against reality. Agitation is here. Even if I wanted this meditation to be really relaxing, that's just not what it is right now. So allowing things to be as they are, because it is how it is. And that's kind of where the curiosity comes in. Sort of rather than battling with agitation, we can meet it with curiosity and start to kind of actually engage with it rather than cut off and turn away. And then through that comes new insights and a new relationship even with agitation. And then that's kind of where acceptance comes. But I sense that you're talking possibly about bigger picture. Is that right? Like I not so much in meditation, but more in life. Is that?
Yes. It's just, okay. For example, in my life, and someone wasn't very nice to me once. Okay. And that was still quite a while ago now, coming up 10 years, and still, even though I feel I've been able to forgive and accept and allow, or allow and accept, it's still, I still, yes, have, you know, kind of anxiety and agitation about it. And so it's just, you know, we talk about acceptance and allowance, but how do we actually get there? And do we actually get there? Or does it just, yes.
And is it like, because there's two layers there, right? Sounds like there's the event and the thing, like the event of situation, someone not being nice to you. I mean, I'm sure it's worse than that, but just talking about it. And then there's the kind of feelings that you have that still remain that are difficult to be with, like anxiety or whatever the feelings are that you would prefer weren't there.
Yes.
So I wonder if it's about, you know, and this is something that meditation helps us with. How can we be with really uncomfortable feelings? So it's not even necessarily about forgiving, or it's more, okay, working with that feeling in the here and now when it comes up. So it's not as big as like, how can I forget? How can I let go of this whole thing and whatever? It's actually like in the moment. It's more of a smaller thing, like, okay, when it hits you, what do you do with that? Like, how do you just be in that moment with that uncomfortable feeling, whatever you want to call it? I think you sort of said anxiety or around thinking about that person or that incident or whatever. So it's like breaking it down into how do you allow the anxiety to be there without battling against it. I want this to go away, you know?
Yes. Yes. And is that acceptance? Is if you allow it to be there, do you just accept, well, this is what it's like, and this is how it's always going to be, and this is how I'm always going to feel? Or can you accept? And
I think there's compassion as well. Yeah. You know, with allowance, there's really deep compassion to yourself. Like,
yes,
God, it's like really turning to compassion, self-compassion. You know, this is really hard for me right now, like really kind of hand on heart, like really bringing a tenderness and a self-compassion to how hard it is to be with this anxiety that's from this particular, you know, situation that happened. But also, you know, which I'm sure you've probably done, but also looking at, well, you know, what support do I need here? Like, what more support do I need to work with this? Because we can't do it alone, you know, particularly if it's something really bad that's happened. It's it's like not really something that we can do alone, develop this kind of skill and capacity. So I think meditation and this kind of thing, what we're doing here together, is really important. But if the intensity of something is such that, you know, it's 10 years and this is very kind of alive, this feeling or whatever comes up, then it's like reassessing, like looking at the system, like what am I doing to actually attend to this, you know? And if I am doing something, you know, is it working or do I need to do something else? So, I mean, for example, people that are even in therapy and like dealing with something, it's like if someone's been in therapy for 5 years and nothing shifting, then it's kind of like, okay, question, like, am I in the right modality? Am I with the right therapist? Like really looking at what is here and sort of asking yourself what's called for, what's needed here. I might need more support to kind of work with this because it's so big, such a big feeling, and I can't do it alone. I need more skills and more, you know, not skills like as in you don't have skills, but you know what I mean, more support.
And in the between times through allowance and acceptance, can I still work with it myself without?
Yeah. I think really when whatever happened, like when the feeling comes up, whatever it might trigger that feeling, it's like, you know, I've referred to this a lot through the program. It's Pema Chodron's comment, discomfort resilience. It's like, how do I learn to bear this feeling that's coming up?
Yes.
You know, but then again, you know, because I'm very aware, you know, that there's different levels of feelings and there's different levels of stress and trauma. And so, of course, you know, sometimes even being with that feeling is just too overwhelming. You know, you can't be with it. That's kind of where other modalities are called for. Is there anything else you wanted to ask around that?
No, I guess it was just, well, you've been wonderfully helpful, thank you. But I guess it was this curiosity also about, we talk about acceptance and allowance or allowance and acceptance, and we work on it, and it's just actually, you know, how to actually get it to work and flow and feel real, you know, because you can say, oh, I accept it and I allow it, and then something will come up and you go, well, actually I don't. But then I mean, you kind of go back and try and do it. You try and keep saying you are accepting it and allowing it.
I think, you know, again, without sort of going into the specific personal details of the situation, but just talking in generalities here for people, like if there's stress, if there's significant trauma, that's kind of a body-mind impact.
Yeah.
So it's not just it's not something you can use your mind to get out of. It's like a full body kind of experience and like effect. And so affecting the nervous system, and you know, so there's lots of different tools that can be used to kind of help calm a nervous system that's kind of had trauma, or you know, it's not just gonna, you're not just gonna be able to talk yourself out of that, you know.
Yes.
I don't know if you've heard of the book The Body Keeps the Score. I imagine you probably would have, but if you haven't, then that would be a good one to have a look at.
The Body Keeps
the Score. The Body Keeps the Score.
Thank you.
And I'm just thinking what else could be helpful. Just that comes to mind.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I just want to say, just to conclude, that I really want to emphasize that, again, without knowing the details, I want to be very careful to not give you the wrong kind of advice here, you know?
Sure.
So because it depends on the severity and the level of insult and stress and trauma. So I would just say that if anyone's having an experience that, you know, is stuck, like it's something from 10 years ago and it feels very alive and difficult to shift, then, you know, if you don't have someone you're working with one-on-one, I would highly recommend that
Yes.
in a more personalized way. Yeah.
I've done that.
Yeah, I imagine you would have.
Yeah, and I've moved away from that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also
and that's where the acceptance comes, doesn't it? That does allow you to move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm hoping. If you can accept it, can you then have those feelings, accept those feelings, and then just let them kind of go through you and move on, and you can go, oh, okay, I can handle this. And keep your equanimity. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for your courage. Thanks for your voice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really appreciate. I know people in the community are sort of saying in the chat box they're very brave, and it is very brave. So thank you. And I'm sure many can relate.
Yes. Thank you.
Let's have. Oh, we'll have one more share. Kath, are you still there? If you'd like to share, then you just have to unmute yourself. Little microphone icon. Kath, give you one more minute. Okay, we'll move on. Megan. Yep, Megan.
Hi, Lise.
Hi. Good to see you here again.
Your wise words, amazing. And that's exactly the point with what you were just saying, the journey that we're all on, and everybody has so many, I suppose we are lucky in so many ways that we can tap into a number of things, not just meditation, not just but those things like walks along the beach, things that jump in the sea, like cold water, all these crazy things that we can do to regulate ourselves. And that's that whole philosophy around the whole thing of trauma can be such a simple act. It could have just been something little that can still stay within your body without even realizing. I think the way you were so professional in the way you shared, and so brave for the person that just shared too. But I just think it's really important to use as many tools as you can and keep seeking. I reckon just keep seeking things that fill you with joy and fill you with strength and courage and all those things. That, and I love that journaling, because I think that using that as your tool to come back to and go, right, this is yourself, all the stuff around self before you can. There was something, I had yoga this morning, and I was thinking it was something like, if you can't be happy within yourself and your heart, all things, how can we be happy with the people that we surround us with and all those things? Valuable, you're so valuable. And I just think we're very lucky to have all everything on tap, all these things to read. And I will be tapping into that book you just mentioned too, so
yeah,
that's
right,
beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan. Thank you.
Thank
good
you. Thank you again for everything.
Bye. Okay. Great. Well, thank you everyone. And my mind is just kind of scrolling through my inner library and thinking if there's anything else I can recommend to Sally. If I do think of anything, I'll share it in the Facebook group and in the follow-up email. I haven't read his book yet, so I'm reluctant to recommend it, but I have also heard The Myth of Normal by Gabor Mate is quite wonderful, but again, shouldn't be recommending that because I haven't actually read it yet. But yes, The Body Keeps the Score would be a good one. And of course, you know, you can access all these people on YouTube and listen to their talks, so you can access the author of that and listen to him talk. And I think a good point that's come out tonight around that is, and, you know, having trained in psychiatry myself and obviously in the field of meditation, I would say that, you know, just like if there's a pain in your body, you best not ignore it. It's a sign that it needs attention. You know, if there's an emotional pain or stress, then that's needs attending to, and it needs full commitment, and don't give up, and keep, as Megan said, keep seeking and keep exploring and you know, don't give up, because that's where where the growth is, you know, where the pain is, that's where the growth is. All right, everyone. Thanks so much for showing up live. It was wonderful to be here with you all. And I hope you're leaving feeling a little bit better than when you got here. And I really look forward to meeting with you in our next call. And don't be strangers. Come into the Facebook group. Let's keep the conversation going. Feel free to ask questions in that group. I do check in there. Remember the book club. Share your insights, thoughts, best takeaways of the book club with using the hashtag of the book's name. And I will look forward to seeing you in March. And of course, this call will be recorded and put up on the site in the next couple of days. Good night.